The readings from the book of Acts and the Gospel of John today speak about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the first Christian communities. In those early formative days of the church, they were just beginning to figure out the whole idea that God is Trinity. And so we see that converts to Christianity were first baptized just in the name of the Lord Jesus. And baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came a bit later. In those early days, we see that there was a visit from representatives of the apostles to lay hands on the new communities to make sure that they received the Holy Spirit. So today, in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, we see the apostles Peter and James arriving in Samaria in order to ensure that the new Samaritan churches receive the Holy Spirit. The laying on of hands is a symbol of transmission, literally of handing on something essential. What is being handed on here is membership in the covenant. The Holy Spirit that the new churches receive is the same glory of the Lord that dwelled in the inner part of the Old Testament temple. Now the Spirit comes upon the whole people of God gathered around the risen Jesus. So the laying on of hands by the first apostles, who were Jews, signifies that the covenant is now being extended out to all peoples. The very first council of the church, the Council of Jerusalem, described in Acts chapter 15, then defined that baptism would replace circumcision as the rite of entry into this new covenant and the moment at which the new disciples received the Spirit. So the same presence of the power of God that dwelled in the midst of Israel now works in the church. People of all nations will come together to form a new united humanity in covenant with the Lord. And that is why the first sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. Genesis 11 told how God divided the peoples of the earth after the fall into sin by giving them different languages at the famous Tower of Babel. And now through Christ, the most basic thing that divides humanity, differences of culture and language, are overcome in the church. This is the significance of the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues means that the gospel can be heard in all languages, even before people figured out how to do translations. Or tongues could be manifested at times as a special language given by God that was interpreted equally for everyone. But either way, the point is that barriers of language and the differences of culture that are related to them are overcome to make possible a new, united humanity. The Holy Spirit, above all, is a power of unity. The Holy Spirit is the power of unity with God. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." The unity that we are called to live is a participation in the unity of God's inner life, the unity of the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit. The giving of the Spirit gives us complete confidence in our union with God. Jesus says, "I will give you another advocate to be with you always." Jesus was our first advocate before God. Jesus took on our human life to free us from the condition of sin. Jesus initiated the transformation of sin into holiness in our lives so that God's trust in us is restored. Jesus proves to us that God loves us so that our trust in God is restored. And now the Holy Spirit is another advocate, sometimes translated counselor. The word could literally mean defense attorney. Whenever we feel insecure about our union with God, the Spirit is there to reassure us as we open ourselves to the Spirit in prayer. Whenever we feel doubtful about the new life that we have in Christ, if we feel weak and discouraged about the possibility of change in our lives, the Spirit is there to encourage us. Whenever people challenge our Christian faith and make us doubt our commitment to the Christian life, the Spirit is there to empower us. The letter of Peter says, "Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks for a reason for your hope. When people put you down, stand up for yourself with gentleness and reverence, for it is better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." And that is the power that the Spirit gives us, the assurance that we are always united to God, the power to witness to Christ, the power of nonviolent resistance when people sin against us. The Holy Spirit is also a power of unity with one another. We are created in the image of God. Our unity with one another is the reflection of who we are as human persons, created in the image of God, who is a communion of persons. An authentic Christian who has received the Spirit will be a person who creates unity, a person who brings others together in unity. This growth in unity begins in the family, which St. John Paul II called the domestic church. In the Spirit, families grow in their capacity to communicate honestly with one another and to listen to one another. In the Spirit, families grow in their capacity for forgiveness and reconciliation, to overcome resentments and conflicts. Paul especially emphasizes the power of the Spirit to help us overcome anger. He says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed." So Paul says, you have the Spirit. Now there's no need to be divided by anger. And the Spirit is sorrowful when we do not live up to our potential. A parish community that is truly open to the power of the Holy Spirit will be a community that is growing always in unity. It will be a parish that knows that we do not live the spiritual life alone. A parish is not just a place where people come to get individual religious services. The Apostle Paul tells us there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Though the body is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. So the challenge of parish life is to make sure that the gifts of every member are identified and put to use for the good of the mission. The challenge of parish life is to discover the way that all groups in the community are complementary in the Spirit. In the Spirit, parish groups are not different clubs competing to share space. In the Spirit, parish groups represent the variety of ways that the Spirit draws people into the church. Parish groups represent the variety of ways of praying, ways of serving, ways of learning that make the Christian faith accessible to all. And that means that a parish community that is truly open to the power of the Holy Spirit will be a parish that is always focused outward, concerned to extend the new life of the Spirit out to those around us. A parish community that is truly penetrated by the Holy Spirit remains united in times of trial. And I really want to express my deep gratitude to this entire community for the ways that you have remained united in the midst of this health crisis. I'm grateful for the way that we have remained united in care for one another. I know and have seen that there is real active concern being shown in many ways, especially for those who are suffering in the midst of this crisis. I'm grateful for the ways that we have remained united in following the Archdiocesan guidelines. No one really wants to be limited by these guidelines. In some communities, we have seen people trying to get around them. But here in our community, we have remained united in patience and cooperation. I'm grateful for the way we've remained united in generosity to support our parish. I am really amazed at what strong support continues to be shown, even in light of the struggles of so many people to make ends meet. All of this is evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit among us. And what a blessing this will continue to be for us as we move beyond this crisis. So thank you. At every Mass, we begin by blessing one another. The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We pray that we will come to know more deeply and to live more deeply in unity in the peace we have in Christ, in God's love for us, united in the Holy Spirit. The Church is sacrament of union with God and the unity of humanity. The Church is the place where the power of the Holy Spirit dwells and works through us. Jesus assures us, the Spirit will be with you always. You know him because he remains with you and will be in you. You will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me, and I in you. The success of our mission depends on each of us being men and women who live in this confidence, in our unity with God through the Spirit, and who seek unity and peace with all those who are created in the image of God.